So, actually, Pastor John asked me if I would read this morning's passage for him. So we're going to be reading from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. If you're using the Bibles in the pew, it's on page 530. And the words will also be on the screen. So please stand out of reverence for God's word. That's on the television. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the nets full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire. They saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to your Holy Spirit-inspired word, I pray for all of those here that you will give us ears to hear and eyes to see the wondrous glory of Jesus. I pray that as we gather here, we see that no matter how bad we think we've messed up, that through Jesus, we can be forgiven. I pray for anyone here that might be struggling with past or present sin, that they're not sure if you can use them to serve Jesus. Please help us see that not only can you forgive us, but you are still calling us to follow you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. At this point in time, I would like to introduce you to a very special guest, the one and only Simon Peter.
Thanks for having me come and be with you today. Although I must say, your newfangled fishing attire is not what I'm accustomed to. Today, I know we're in Clinton, Michigan, but I want to invite you to step back in time with me. We're going to step back about 2,000 years, and for the next little bit, you're sitting on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. I want to share with you some about that special time in my life when I encountered the grace and mercy of the risen Jesus. You know, those days following the resurrection were filled with much uncertainty. You know, we were gathering there for the Passover meal, a wonderful celebration for us Jews, and something was different that night. Something about Jesus was different that night. I didn't realize what all was going to get ready to take place. You know, one minute he's with us and we're praying, and the next minute he's arrested. The next day he's beaten, and then he was crucified. It didn't make sense to me. So the disciples and I, we gathered. We were scared. We hid most of the time. And we got news that night, the third day, Jesus was alive. Mary had gone to the tomb, found it empty, and she came and told us. And John and I, we ran as fast as we could. And I saw the empty tomb, but I didn't believe. I didn't know what had happened. I don't know why, I just didn't recall the words of Jesus and believe that he was alive. But we went back home, and Mary Magdalene later came and said that she had seen Jesus, and I still couldn't believe it. Not until that night, as we gathered, scared to be seen in public, and holed up in a room, and Jesus shows up. He shows us his hands and he shows us his side, and we believed. The Lord was alive. What joy filled my heart, but I couldn't quite be as joyful as I wanted to, because just hours before that I had denied that I even knew him. I don't even know if he wanted me there that night. That next week was whirlwinds. He just left all of a sudden. And the next week we were gathered back in the same place, and he showed up again and shows himself to us again. And you know, in those days we didn't know what was going to happen. We were used to being with Jesus every single day, and now he just kind of showed up whenever he wanted to. And then next thing you know, he's gone. We didn't know when we were going to see him again. Disciples and I, we probably more so me, because I was kind of the leader that looked up to me, but decided we needed something familiar. And so we traveled north, heading back to Galilee, to where we were from. It was going to be nice to go back to our hometown. It was more than 70 miles to get there. But it was a familiar place, something we knew, something would bring us at least some comfort of familiarity. One night as we were gathered together there, I told the guys I was going fishing. I mean, after all, we needed to eat. And so six of the other ones said that they would come with me. And so we set out and we were going fishing. We fished all night long and didn't catch anything. I don't know if you've ever been fishing and not caught anything and spent hours out there and have nothing to show for it. But let me tell you, when you're fishing and there's no fish, you got a lot of time to think. And as I sat on the boat in the Sea of Galilee, my mind just wandered. I thought about the last 3 years and everything that I had seen and heard take place just within miles of where I was. Everywhere I looked was a reminder of something that Jesus had done. It was on this sea, on these waters, and probably not too far from where I'm at tonight, that Jesus was walking along the shore, and I had met him before briefly. But my brother and I, we were out fishing. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along the shore and he hollers out, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we did. I didn't know what that was going to mean. I didn't know the adventure that was going to start in my life, the journey of faith and learning and growing that was going to take place just because I decided to follow him. But we did. I remember the time when soon in Jesus' ministry, he was teaching and he decided he wanted to go out and be on a boat and speak to the crowds on the shore. So he got into my boat. And I had already been out fishing the night before and didn't catch anything. Sounds familiar, right? But Jesus decided to use me as a lesson, and he tells me, "Cast your net into the deep and bring in some fish." I thought the guy's crazy. fished all night, didn't catch anything. This wasn't the time of day the fish were going to start all of a sudden come up and or catch anything, but I couldn't tell my master no. So I did. Threw into the deep, and when I went to haul in the net, began to tear. So many fish, the net couldn't even hold them all. It's just over there in Bethsaida, my hometown. So right around this time, Jesus heard that my mother-in-law was sick. And he said, we need to go. And he decided he was going to heal her. Now, I know what you're thinking. Is that a prayer request or a praise, right? Your mother-in-law getting healed. I got to tell you, I was overjoyed. To be a disciple of Jesus meant that I was going to be gone all the time. I was going to be on the road. I didn't know when I would see my wife again. To know that my mother-in-law would be there to keep her company and to help care for her brought peace to me as I was out on the roads following Jesus. Right over there is Capernaum. I could go on and on about the things that I witnessed in Capernaum. I remember the time where the centurion, a Roman centurion, came and found Jesus. He had heard about some of the things he was doing, and he told us that his servant was sick and that he needed to be healed. Oh, and this man displayed such faith that day. He said, "You don't even need to come. I know you can do it." And Jesus spoke words, and we found out later on that at the moment Jesus spoke those words, his servant was healed. I remember the time we were coming through Capernaum and we were questioned. "Jesus, are you and your disciples going to pay the temple tax?" So Jesus decided he was going to teach all of us a lesson. He tells me, the fishermen, one of the fishermen, to go down and to throw a hook in the water. He says, "The first fish you pull up, open its mouth and you're going to find a coin in it and bring it back and we'll pay the tax." All right, so down I went, right over there, right on that shore. And I threw a hook in, pulled the fish out. And I'm telling you, I've been fishing my entire life. I've caught many fish, I have cleaned many fish, but never have I found a coin in a fish's mouth. Until that day, first fish, open its mouth and there's the coin. Faith, building my faith. It was on that same shore, one of the saddest days. Everyone, almost everyone, stopped following Jesus. The day before, we were just over there on the shore, and Jesus took a small boy's lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, and he fed over 5,000 people with it. And then he told me and the other 11 to go and bring in the leftovers. Leftovers? You're kidding me, right, Jesus? We had just a small lunch. You expect leftovers? But we went. We took baskets, and each one of us went and collected a basket full of leftover bread, and we brought it back to Jesus. That night, he sent us across, told us to go back to Capernaum, and he was going to stay behind. So we set out on the water, sailing over, and strong wind comes up and the storm gets a little rough, and next thing you know we see someone walking on the water and we recognize that it was Jesus. And against all of my previous knowledge and experience and maybe just out of pure stupidity, I called out to him, "Lord, if you want me to come to you, just tell me and I'll come." And he did. And I got in the water and walked on it. And all of a sudden, a stiffer breeze came up, and I took my eyes off Jesus and put it on the water, and it began to sink, and Jesus rescued me. Eventually made it to Capernaum. Jesus gave some hard teaching that day. We didn't understand it. We thought he was crazy for saying such things. And at the end of the day, everyone except us 12 left him. And then he looked at us and says, "Well, do you want to leave too?" Leave? Where would we go, Jesus? You're the one who has the words of eternal life. All around I look, right over there. That's where he spoke the Sermon on the Mount. On the shores over there, oh man, this was a funny one. He found a guy who was demon-possessed hanging out in the cemetery area, and he cast out his demon, and he's full of demons, and he cast him, and he sent him into pigs, and all the pigs rushed into the shore. Man, did that upset the locals. God had to get out of there quickly. Memories everywhere. Little did I know that 3 years ago, me and 11 other guys, some of them I kind of knew, most of them I really didn't know, we would begin this journey as disciples of Jesus. The front of the boat up there was Thomas. Thomas, the one who at the end of Jesus' life, after his resurrection, questioned him. Didn't believe that Jesus would be alive. Just in front of him was Nathanael. Nathanael, the one who even before he met Jesus was questioning him. And then there's James and John, fellow fishermen. Two of the closest guys. Two of my closest friends. They had a lot of motivation problems. They questioned a lot of things, a little bit of a temper, but man, did I love these guys. Us 11 had spent the last 3 years together. Most of them, they went from being strangers to becoming friends. Now I considered them brothers. So many memories, so little fish. Day was breaking and we were ready to go in, empty hands and empty stomachs. And all of a sudden we heard a voice shouting from the shore, "Children, do you have any fish?" I wish I could tell them yes, but no, sadly no, we had no fish. We didn't have fish to eat, let alone fish to sell or fish to share with anyone else. And as we peered into the sunlight, we hollered back, trying to make out, see if we could tell who it was, but we had to yell out, "No!" And then we heard a voice back, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Know it all fishermen, I guess. But we were, I don't know, desperate. Anyway, we didn't want to go back in and just explain to him why we didn't. We just went ahead and did it. Cast the net over the right side of the boat. We go to haul it back in and we can't get it in. Too many fish. And at once, John looked at me and he says, "It's the Lord." And at once I knew it too. I knew it was the Lord. So I got on my outer coat and I threw it on and I jumped head first into the sea and I began to swim towards the shore. And as I got to the shallow water, I began to get up and run. And I got to the shore and I sprinted to Jesus and I embraced Him. How I missed embracing Him. I didn't know what to say. I mean, all these other times that I had been with Jesus, I had just wanted to just pour out my heart to Him and say, "Jesus, I'm so sorry. I've learned my lesson. I promise I won't do it again." And I stood this, I just sat down with Him and noticed He already had fish. He was already making breakfast. Familiar smell. The smell of fish cooking over the open fire. And the smell of bread. Oh, fresh bread cooking. Makes me hungry thinking about it. I sat there and soon the other disciples had gotten in. We weren't too far offshore. So they came up and got there and saw Jesus. And Jesus tells us to go and bring some of the fish that we had caught. So I allowed them some time to go and greet Jesus and I headed down the beach and over to the boat and I looked in and man, I didn't take time to notice before, but I know you guys have probably caught pretty big fish before, but these were large fish. Big fish. We would later count them up and 153 large fish. And so I took some of them and began to walk back to meet the others and to have breakfast. I thought about, man, how many times over the last couple of weeks did the disciples and I talk about just if we could just have one more meal with Jesus. And we had gotten so accustomed, every single meal we would sit down and give thanks. And we would eat together. We missed that. The last meal together, we didn't even realize it was going to be the last meal together. Jesus washes our feet. I make a fool of myself. He tells us one of us is betraying Him. He tells me I'm going to deny Him. I was so confident He was wrong. Once again, He was right. As I headed back, I decided I was not going to take this meal for granted. I didn't know if this was going to be our last meal with Him. We didn't know if He was going to be leaving. We didn't know if we would have this chance again. And so I was going to make the most of this time together. We sat, gave Him the fish and sat down with the other disciples. Jesus taught us a little bit. We made small talk. I don't know what it was, but I don't know if it was because I was so hungry. I don't know if I was, you know, from working hard so hard all night. I don't know if it was the fish. I don't know what it was, but I'm going to tell you that was the best tasting fish I've ever had. And I think it had something to do with my company that day. When you get a second chance to do something you've longed to do, it's always a little bit sweeter. While I ate, I thought about all the things I wanted to say to Jesus. I'm sorry. Learned my lesson. Jesus, I failed. I failed myself and I failed You. No matter how hard I tried to work up the courage, I could never say the words. I couldn't start that conversation. As we were finishing up eating, Jesus spoke to me. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these? If I hadn't been so humble the last few weeks, I would have taken great offense to what He said. He wasn't asking me if I loved Him more than the other disciples. You know, Jesus never called us to love Him more than someone else. All He ever called us to do was to love Him with all of our own heart. Now He was asking me, do you love Me more than these fish? Trying to take it in, taken aback at the question. I looked at Him, said, Lord, You know I love You. And Jesus knew everything. He knew I loved Him. And then Jesus said, feed My lambs. Now, I had spent 3 years with Jesus. I knew that Jesus did not have any livestock that needed cared for. I knew He didn't have some sheepfold somewhere with His own set of sheep that I needed to go and give food to. No, I thought about Jesus' teaching about who the sheep were. I thought about that time that He shared us the story of 100 sheep, and one of them wandered off and got lost. And the shepherd left the other 99. Went and found that lost sheep and brought it back. I thought about the times where He came upon crowds of people and He looked around and observed and He said, they're harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I thought about that time when He was teaching us and He told us that He was the good shepherd, the one who lays down His life for His sheep, and that His sheep hear His voice and know Him. About how He told us that there were still sheep that belonged to Him that were not yet part of the fold that we needed to go out and gather in. He was talking about people, believers, people who trusted in Jesus and those who would come to trust in Jesus. He was telling me that I needed to teach them. I thought about this and then He asked me a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love Me? Maybe Jesus didn't hear me. Maybe the whole crucifixion resurrection thing affected his ears in some way. I don't know. I just told him, Lord, you know I love you. And he told me, tend my sheep. Those believers, those who are trusting in me, those who will trust in me, take care of them. Guide them. Watch after them. Protect them. Thought maybe that was the end of it. But once again, he looks at me and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? All of a sudden, I was grieved. I probably looked like I had seen a ghost. I may have even looked like a ghost. I don't know if you have ever experienced grief to such an extent that you felt sick to your stomach, but I was sick to my stomach. I swear, I heard a rooster crow that time. And at once I began, as he asked me that third time, I thought about the denials of my Savior. Was Jesus grieving more than me? Did he grieve my denial more than I was grieving it? Was this some passive-aggressive way to throw my sin back in my face? Was Jesus getting ready to lay down the hammer and say, see, Peter, I told you so. I told you you were going to do this. I don't know. All I could do is say, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. The strange thing about spending time with Jesus is, you get to see how he sees people. Man, I tell you, Jesus could see right through the flesh into the very soul of a person. I remember the rich young ruler who came up to him asking what he must do to inherit eternal life. Now Jesus saw through his question to his real idol of money and possessions. I thought about the woman of the well and how I had seen and heard of Jesus' conversation with her. And how he got through all of the nonsense and he just knew the heart of this woman. I thought about all of the Pharisees that he had been speaking to, people that I used to look up to. And how he saw through their exterior, through what they showed people, and he saw that their heart was wrong. And they didn't even know God. I learned that Jesus knew man's heart better than man knew it. Maybe that was the thing. Maybe Jesus knew my heart better than I knew it. But I knew I loved Jesus. And I knew that Jesus knew that I loved him. And then he said words that turned my grief into joy. He didn't throw anything in my face. He just told me once again, feed my sheep. Those words brought peace to my mind. Those words displayed more than I had ever seen the grace and mercy of Jesus. Jesus, in those words, was giving me a second chance. He was giving me a second chance at being his disciple. And I thought I had blown it. And here he was, calling me back. There was words that he was getting ready to say. The words, two words that I had heard earlier on a boat with my brother Andrew. Follow me. First time I heard it, I was so excited to follow him. Jesus was giving me a second chance. Not just to be his disciple, but to live up to that new name that he gave me. You're no longer going to be called Simon, you're going to be called Peter, which means rock. I thought Jesus had run out of ways to surprise me. But once again, he did. He then spoke words to me. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself, and you used to walk wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, your hands will be stretched out. Someone else is going to clothe you, and they're going to carry you where you don't want to go." I know what he was saying. Peter, when you were young, you could live carefree. You could dress the way you wanted to. You could go where you wanted to. But a day is coming when that is going to change. Someone else is going to dress you. Someone's going to take you where you don't want to go, and your hands are going to be stretched out. If anyone who had ever heard of or witnessed a crucifixion heard the words, "hands stretched out," they knew what that meant. Jesus was telling me very plainly, and I heard him and I understood it. Peter, a day is coming when you're going to be led where you don't want to go, and you're going to die. What? Die? That's what all of this gets me to, is death. And in those words that I had heard the very first time on these shores with my brother, "Follow me." He said them to me once again, "Follow me." But over the last 3 years, and now I've realized how much those two words have changed in their meaning. I didn't know what I was signing up for 3 years ago. And now he's telling me that if I'm going to follow him, it means marching to my death. I thought about that time when he taught us. He said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself and he must take up his cross and follow me. That's what he's telling me. If I'm going to follow him, it means I'm going to follow him to death. I thought about it again. I have a choice. I could follow him or not. Where would I go? Who else would I follow but the one who has the words of eternal life? The words seem so heavy at first. "Follow me to death." But then in a moment, man, they turn to joy. I can't explain to you how words of "follow me to death" bring joy. But I realized what Jesus was telling me. He was inviting me to keep following him. He was telling me that I wasn't too messed up, that I wasn't too far gone, that my denial didn't define me. And he was inviting me back to come and follow him. He gave me a second chance. A second chance I didn't deserve. We got to hang out with Jesus a little more in those days before he ascended back to heaven. But I've got to tell you, I don't know if I treasure any time more than I treasured the time over breakfast with Jesus that morning. We hear, grown up in the Jewish synagogues, hearing about the grace of God. That morning I saw the grace of God. I'd heard about God's mercy, and I saw it on display that day. I had heard that God is quick to forgive. When was he ever? I didn't even have to ask him to. And I learned that God can use anyone. No matter your failures, no matter what you've done, God can use you. I want to encourage you in a few ways this morning. It's important that when we come and when we see Jesus, that we be encouraged. And if you can learn anything from my story from that morning, this is what I would want you to learn. I would encourage you to love Jesus with everything that you have. Love him more than your job. Love him more than your home and your possessions. Love him more than your familiarity, than your comfortable surroundings. Love him with everything that you have. Love him with your whole heart. And I promise you, and I speak from experience, there will not be a time when you get older when you will look back and say, I wish I had loved Jesus just a little bit less. No, you'll say, I wish I had given more back then. I wish I knew then what I know now. I would have loved him even more. Don't compare your love to others. Just love him with everything you have, the best way you know how. I would encourage you in this way, that Jesus wants to use you for great things. And no matter what you've done, he can use you. You may be looking at me and say, "You, Pastor, Peter, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the things that I've done." I don't know. But Jesus does. You see, here's the thing about Jesus. Before he even chose me to be his disciple, he knew I would deny him. And he chose me anyway. And he called me to come and to follow him. And so it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is ready to forgive you if you're ready to be forgiven. And he is ready to use you, even though you think you can't be used. And he has great plans in store for him, for you, if you'll let him use you. I would encourage you to feed and care for Jesus' sheep. I'm not calling you to go and start a sheep farm and gather in sheep and take care of them. No. Find believers who need to be encouraged and teach them. Guide them. Watch out for them. Protect them. When they have questions, be there to help answer them. When they get themselves into trouble, be there to help them out of it. Not just those believers, though, the ones who are already believers. Jesus says he still has sheep who are not yet of this fold. Go find those people that Jesus has already paid the price for salvation for and tell them about him. Tell them about his love and his grace and his mercy. Tell them how he can forgive them of their sins and make them right with God, and that they can have peace in their hearts and that they don't have to fear death ever again. Tell them, and then guide them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus every single step of the way. Finally, I would encourage you to do this, to follow Jesus. Keep following Jesus. Wherever he leads you, follow him. Whatever that next step of faith is that he's leading you into, follow him. He's leading you to reach out to that friend or that coworker, that neighbor, follow him. He may be leading you to start some new ministry, then follow him. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe he's saying it's time for you to be baptized and show the world that you're a follower of Jesus. Then follow him. Maybe he's leading you to jump in and get involved in that mission trip. Follow him. I don't know where he's leading you, but I know he wants to lead you. And he's going to tell you the same thing he told me. Follow me. It's going to take a lot of trust. But Jesus will grow your trust. I just went from denying Jesus and now is ready to follow him to death. Jesus can use anyone. He can use you if you follow him. And if you follow him, I promise you, wherever you follow him, you're not going to look back and think, shouldn't have done that. He's got great things in store for you. Great things he wants to use you for. If you just follow him. Let's pray. Jesus, Father God, I ask now that you would be at work. Lord, as we get ready to sing, Lord, the same invitation that you gave to Peter is the same invitation that you give to us today, to follow you. Lord, there may be someone here who has never taken the first step to follow you, Lord, and it's time for them to jump in to your arms of salvation. and to say, Jesus, I have sinned. I have messed up. But you can forgive me. And so I ask that you would forgive me. Because you are the only one who can save me. Because you are the Son of God. And today I'm going to trust you and begin to follow you. Lord, for some of us, you're just inviting us to take that next step of faith, that next leap of faith. And Father, I pray that today, during this time, that all of your sheep would take that next step of following you. Father, may they know that this altar is open. Lord, I was reminded this weekend that if you're going to walk up to an altar, typically that means there's something not right with you and God. And it takes humility to do that because you're letting everyone else know there's something wrong in my relationship with you, but I'm going to humble myself and take care of it. And so today I pray, Lord, wherever you're leading us, Lord, that we would take those steps to follow you. It's worth it. May you work during this invitation time as we sing this song for our good and for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If God is leading you to follow him today.